There, do you have any idea what you're listening to?
London Philharmonic?
It's Venus.
Huh?
Venus.
Why not? We bounced signals off the moon's surface. There's no reason that Venus shouldn't radiate impulses.
I don't mean the static. Can't you hear it, the other thing?
What other thing?
Listen to it, Paul. Listen to the voice.
Hello and welcome to Media Geek. This is your weekly look at a world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. On today's program, hip-hop activism for media accountability. I'll be bringing you some audio from the National Conference of Media Reform. It was a really great panel. I really enjoy talking about that intersection of how hip-hop and the culture surrounding hip-hop can help us make our media more accountable to everyone. And of course, we'll catch up with some of what's going on in our media environment. You do want to stay tuned. On today's program, I'm going to turn things upside down. Instead of starting you off with headlines, we're going to move right into the feature. This is the panel I probably enjoyed the most at the National Conference for Media Reform, and that's because it was a pretty animated panel, and there were musical performances, unfortunately, which I can't play for you due to pure technical problems. In that when they went to go into a song and someone did a rhyme, it was a heck of a lot louder than when they were just speaking, and I wasn't able to be close enough to my recorder to adjust the level, so when there's a song, it is just distorted to the max, but the talking is nice and clear. So I'd love to be able to bring you that stuff, because there were some interesting rhymes to go along with what the folks are talking about, and that certainly made the panel more fun, but you do get sort of a taste as we listen to two of the speakers at the panel called Make the Music With Your Mouth Kid, Hip-Hop Activism for Media Accountability. First off, we'll hear from Brother Los, who is a hip-hop artist, also working with youth surrounding hip-hop. And then we'll hear from Rosa Clemente, who is a radio show host at WBAI, the Pacifica station in New York, in addition to being a artist herself. So now we'll start off, and we'll hear from Brother Los.
All right. So my name is Brother Los, and I represent two different groups in the capacity that we're here today. One is my own group, Company of Prophets, which is a hip-hop trio in Oakland, California. woo! Oakland! And the other is Youth Movement Records, which is the nonprofit agency that I work for as the program director, okay? The way that I came into this was through a collaboration that we were doing with the Youth Media Council in looking at what it is that individual artists could do to lend their voices to the struggle to shut down Clear Channel. And after a whole lot of investigation and investment and personal investment and sneakers all tore up, doing marches, not much was kind of what I got to as an individual artist, on the really real. At the end of the day, Clear Channel is the sort of behemoth that certainly needs for watchdog groups to put their business out, certainly needs for individuals to tune out and find alternative sources of media. And as an individual artist, I put myself in jeopardy as far as my longevity of my career if everywhere that I go, I'm running around talking about fuck Viacom and fuck Clear Channel, right? Right there, it's like, okay, so how about then you could try to bring us some payola and you're not getting your video on. And how about then we're done with putting you, on in rotation. And this is not something that's exclusive to underground artists. Let's be very, very clear. When Mos Def at the VH1 Awards tried to get out in the street and perform a song around Katrina, he was arrested. Okay? All right? Was arrested. All right? In the middle of Times Square with mad cameras on him. You could YouTube it. You could look at it. It's crazy. Okay? This is not something that's just about underground artists. You know what I'm saying? Mos Def is cute when he's in his ads and doing, you know, his music videos. And this is, you know, I saw 16 Blocks. I thought it was hot. You know what I mean? But when he gets out there and tries to do his real music for the people without being commissioned, without being charged voluntarily, you know what I'm saying? Brought his own gear, brought his own rig. If he don't have the right contracts, if he don't have the right paperwork for the police, just like any other brother in the world, any other person in the world, any other sister in the world, you're going to get shut down very, very quickly. And that lesson is available to all of us. So there's one issue around the idea of, like, why don't more independent artists get out and, like, get down with these marches on the local level, right? The other part of it is that if for independent artists, if they're not involved in another kind of way to make bread, basically, you know what I'm saying? That's it. That's it. So if you, you know, for want of a better word, fuck off your relationships with all of the industry folks, you're going to find yourself on the outside very, very quickly if you don't have another means of gaining income, all right? So for myself, I've been very fortunate to be able to become a working musician and flip what I do into being a program director for Youth Movement Records. So I have a real life job where, you know, I got an office and computers, a whole joint, and I'm making music and I'm making hip hop and I'm doing it with young people. And the idea is to be developmental in everything it is that we do, right? So the idea is hip-hop is the veneer, okay? Because let's be honest about where we are in hip-hop right now, right? Rap music is essentially hair metal at this point, all right? It's hyper-masculine, it's hyper-materialistic, it's nihilistic at best, it's necrophilic, and makes its money off of the commodity of Black Death, all right? That's rap music. Hip-hop is not rap music. Okay? Hip-hop is not rap music. Let's just be very, very clear. All right? So while we're in this last days of rap music, and thank God that we are, like, huh? Really? Yada-da-da-da. Really? You know what I'm saying? And I love it. You know what I'm saying? I go dumb, but damn. Can we get a book? You know what I'm saying? Where's all my X-Clan peoples at? What happened to that, right? So if you start really looking at what's happened to that, same thing has happened to jazz. You know what I mean? Same thing has happened to jazz. Kenny G's on the radio. Sade's on the jazz station. What? Right? And jazz heads know. If you want to hear jazz, listen to Steve Coleman. Go to the sources, right? And so that's what we're trying to provide, this kind of thinking and this kind of networking for the kids who work with Youth Movement Records. Okay.
She is a co-host and producer of Where We Live on Pacifica's WBAI out of New York. She's the mother of a beautiful young lady who just celebrated her birthday on New Year's Day. She's going to be bringing, yes, clap your hands for mothers. And she's going to be bringing us an analysis around racism that exists in the alternative media sphere and how that limits the impact that hip-hop can have in the realm of policy reform and media. She'll also be sharing work from Reach Hip-Hop, which stands for Representing Education, Activism, and Community Through Hip-Hop, which has been instrumental in holding hip-hop station Hot 97 accountable in New York, among other things. So everybody give it up for Rosa.
What's up, everybody? It's really wonderful to be here. 2 years ago at the National Media Reform Conference in St. Louis, I wasn't there, but Davey D was there, Malkia was there. Davey did a great speech called The Clear Channeling of America. But I listened to the Bill Moyer speech, and as I was listening to it, you know, I was like, that's cool, but even in your analysis, you're not talking about racism. So how are you talking about media and the founding fathers? Because my founding fathers were in Puerto Rico, not in the United States of America. So in thinking of his speech and how he was talking about media reform and all this kind of stuff, once again, the voices of people of color, you know, are left out. And not that Bill Moyers needs to be representing people of color, because he's not. And that's my whole point. I would start basically with the battle in Seattle that I was lucky to be there. And to see in the indie media, right, how it started at the battle in Seattle, because everyone who was there knew that the mainstream media would not tell the story. And 6 years later, look at indie media. And it's a global movement, you know? And I remember walking into the space, and immediately I was like, I'm out. Where are the black and brown people? Because in walking into so-called liberal spaces, it's not enough to say, come to my table. You're invited. I know I am. I'm human too. You know, I don't need a special invitation. And I think a lot of us have been feeling within the independent media movement that our voices are completely not heard. You know, the fact that I'm seeing more people of color on Bill O'Reilly and mainstream media is a problem. And now I'm saying I don't want to see the people of color I'm seeing on Bill O'Reilly. They're not representing the reality, the truth. But the fact that we have this progressive so-called independent media movement, and I literally have to search high and low, and I look at the plenary, and you know, at all these major plenaries at this conference, there's one woman of color speaking, Deepa Fernandez. You know, so when we came here, my expectation was to network with like-minded people. And in order to do that, we have to be real and we have to speak truth to power. And in speaking truth to power, we have to frame this now around the issue of white supremacy. And people don't want to talk about that. Until one understands the system of white supremacy, anything and everything else will confuse you. That's a quote by Nellie Fuller, and that's true. And it applies to people of color, and it applies to white people. Because white people are being duped. When you don't know the history of black people, when you don't know the history of the Young Lords Party, when you don't know that the first independent media person was Frederick Douglass, that the first feminist was Frederick Douglass, that Ida B. Wells Barnett would stand with two guns on her hip till the day she died because she was talking about the anti-lynching movement and was writing about it. That's the beginning of the independent media movement, and that comes from black people, because black people had no choice but to create their own media. And that carries now into the Young Lords. And the Young Lords, and you know, a lot of people don't even know that Juan Gonzalez is a former Young Lord. It was Juan and Richie that knew that they would have to create their own journalist paper. That would be the Palante paper, just like the Black Panther Party. Millions of papers were sold. Has anybody ever seen the archives of the Black Panther Party newspaper and read them? The reality is we started this shit, and once again, it's like now we're being asked to be at the table, and it's always a diversity table. You know, it's always a people of color thing. Put them all in hip hop. We all love hip hop, but hip hop is bigger than music. I don't even listen to the radio. You know, I don't care. My hip hop is dead prez. It's immortal. It's invincible. It's cutting candy. You know, it's young people on the street that are talking to me, always rhyming. Miss Rose, I got a rhyme for you. The Police, Papoose, that's hip hop. 50 Shots, that's hip hop. You know, Fred Hampton Jr., that's hip hop. The Block Report, that's hip hop. But it's even bigger than that, because within that, these are the social justice issues we got to attack. We're dealing with an economy that is destroying black life, black and Latino middle class life. And obviously affecting white people. Come on, the poverty right now is insane. We're gonna, once Bush leaves, then we're really gonna be suffering over this war. Education, that's a wrap. I talk to kids every day. Education in the school system, New York City has the worst. I know New York City has the worst public school education system. We got a 42% dropout rate across the nation amongst African American Latino youth. African-American male unemployment in New York is now at 52%. You got more than half of the black men in New York unemployed. Then you're wondering why they're just hanging around. Then you're wondering why there's an underground economy. And then that underground economy, not that drugs should be celebrated, but there's a lot of other underground things. Selling DVDs, selling socks, selling incense, all of that is economy. It's how people are making money. You know, within all of this, the women of color are the most marginalized. We are the most oppressed voices. Because even the most progressive stations or whatever, you know, the men. I'm like, where are the women of color anchors? Where are the women of color commentators? Like, I don't need to hear Noam Chomsky and Howard Zinn one freaking more time, you know? Can I hear somebody else, you know? Give me anybody. Let me hear an April Silver, Shani, an Adrian, a Malkia, an Invincible, Candy, me. Like, come on, we're expertise in our field, and we need to be respected as such. And, you know, people need to know these names because you never hear these women's names. But these are, you know, just some issues that we are talking about and we're working around and we're organizing around. Whether it's issues around political prisoners, you know, that we work hard, whether it's organizing with the Malcolm X grassroots movement, whether it's blogging, whether it's podcasting, whether it's being that consistent voice that's going to say, I'm not going to be silent, I'm not going to be marginalized, I'm supposed to be at this table also. Whether it's saying that all this coverage around the Iraq war is important, but there's a war at home on people of color. And if I have to hear another analysis on Iraq, I'm like, I know what's going on in Iraq, but there's a war at home. And that war was made clear 2 weeks ago in New York when Sean Bell was shot at and his two friends 50 times. That's a military attack. And to end, Katrina, you want to talk about a war? Oh, that Katrina, we are talking about the largest reconstruction displacement of black people since the Civil War, since slavery ended. We got millions of people homeless. If that's a story that the progressive media and that this conference decided to cancel the panel on, the Katrina panel is the panel that got canceled at this conference. I know none of us made that decision. If we, as independent media people, as progressive people, are not, you know, gonna be talking about Katrina, and we're gonna lay all our hopes on 2008, and if Hillary runs, and if women are all gonna be all of a sudden about Nancy Pelosi, a white woman that don't know what it is to be a person of color, and believe me, is not as progressive as people may think just because she's in San Francisco, we don't have an analysis. Hip hop provides that analysis. We do that with that. Thank you very much.
That was hip-hop activist Rosa Clemente. You can learn more about her at rosaclemente.org. Before that, you heard Butterlos from Youth Movement Records, which you can find out more about at youthmovementrecords.com. I'm sorry, it's youthmovementrecords.org. And both of them spoke at the National Conference for Media Reform, which happened in Memphis, Tennessee on January 13th, 2006. 2007. I don't know what day it is. I don't know what year it is. But I do know that this is Media Geek, your weekly look at the world of grassroots and independent media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. I'm Paul Rees-Mandel, and I'm your host. Check out Media Geek online at MediaGeek.net. That's the home of the Media Geek blog, going strong. 7 years bringing news and views on our media. Definitely a lot of stuff that I don't have time for on the program. Sometimes some geekier stuff about electronics and using media-making tools and the best way to do it on the cheap. And sometimes just sheer rants. But it's all there at MediaGeek.net. You can download the program at radio.mediageek.net, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. We have it in MP3. We also have it in the open format, Ogg Vorbis, supporting it all, radio.mediageek.net. If you have any comments about the program, I'd love to hear them. Send them to me at paul@mediageek.net. Thank you. Looking now to a little bit of our news. On February 1st, the Republican-dominated Federal Communications Commission will have its first hearing in front of a Democratic-controlled Senate Commerce Committee. Commissioners are certain to hear about the current media ownership rules review, in addition to network neutrality. In particular, network neutrality has gone from being a distant stepchild in Congress to a closer member of the family with the shift to Democratic control. Bipartisan bills in support of network neutrality have been introduced into both houses of Congress, and their prospects for passage look a lot better this year, even if a presidential veto is always a threat. Democratic senators will also be pushing commissioners on the issue of diversity within media ownership, as minority ownership has declined rapidly over the last 10 years. Commerce Committee member Byron Dorgan of North Dakota told the Washington Post that the FCC, quote, has effectively emasculated any public interest standards that existed, end quote, while the Congress has provided almost no oversight. Dorgan expects the Democratic Congress to step up oversight and force the FCC to respond to its concerns. Another thing the FCC commissioners will have to answer for during their visit to the Senate Commerce Committee is why they voted to override some state and local laws in order to force municipalities to act within 3 months on applications from AT&T and Verizon to offer local cable TV service, regardless of how cooperative the big telecoms have been in their negotiations. Neither municipalities nor states, like the FCC dictating their timeline, even when some states have enacted similar laws. Some lawmakers are critical because the FCC's ruling effectively gives a selective advantage to AT&T and Verizon compared to the incumbent cable operators who do not share in it. The biggest opponent to the FCC's new cable rule is probably the Alliance for Community Media, which represents hundreds of public access TV stations across the country. Along with the Alliance for Communications Democracy and local government groups, the Alliance has retained legal counsel to challenge the FCC's decision depriving local municipalities of control over their cable franchises with the big telecoms. Public access and other local service channels typically are obtained through the negotiations between cable companies who want to move into a community and the municipality that authorizes the use of the public right-of-way. The ACM fears that if municipalities have their hands tied by an FCC shot clock, communities will lose their opportunities to require more public service obligations from the likes of AT&T and Verizon. According to ACM Executive Director Anthony Riddle, the Alliance doesn't want to have to go to court, but he says they cannot, quote, stand silent while giant corporations take away the only voices our communities have, public education and government access channels, end quote. It's going to be an interesting year. It's something I will continue to keep tabs on here at Media Geek as the new Democratic Congress gets in there and starts working on some of these media reform issues. Although I do want to strike a note of caution for myself at the very least, and something you may want to pay attention to, in the fact that much of the telecommunications so-called deregulation of the 1990s happened underneath a Democratic president who had, at times, a Democratic Congress up until 1994 under President Clinton. It also happened underneath previous Republican presidents, Bush and Reagan, with Democratic Congresses. Although the Democratic Congresses did often try to move reform issues like restoring the Fairness Doctrine back onto the table and did pass laws which were vetoed by Republican presidents. It was a very bipartisan vote that passed the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which in effect created Clear Channel and its ilk, and started this on this rapid decline in the number of owners of our mass media. It is a bipartisan issue, and the money that comes from the telecom sector is bipartisan. And so we may be seeing a lot of Democratic motion on these reform issues like network neutrality, like media ownership, partially as a result of Democrats being stuck in the minority underneath the Bush presidency for the last two terms. But and so we'll have to see if we can hold their feet to the fire to continue to be quite so responsive to the needs of our communities, even while the lobbyists and the telecom companies and the entertainment companies and the National Association of Broadcasters start shifting their rather significant coffers of campaign money towards the other side of the aisle. I don't think anything is set in stone yet, and we still do have a Republican FCC. Although it does seem as though Democrats are courting one of the new Republicans, Commissioner Robert McDowell, because he at least has shown some an independent streak, a little bit of backbone in the face of Chairman Kevin Martin. In fact, within just his first month on the commission, he sided with the commission Democrats to defeat something known as Cable Must Carry, which was kind of a blow to the National Association of Broadcasters. And also, he stayed out of the AT&T Bell South merger decision against the very strong wishes of Chairman Martin. He stayed out because he felt he had a conflict of interest, because before joining the FCC, he worked for the lobby for the competing telephone companies, those that compete with the large ones like AT&T and Bell South and Verizon, and felt he should not rule on the merger, which handed over significant power to the Democrats to push a more public service-oriented agenda and to force AT&T to accept some network neutrality provisions for 2 years, which is more than was going to happen otherwise. Whether or not he's a friend to Democrats is another question. He is well connected to the Bush administration, but there may be an independent streak there. So it should be another interesting year as the FCC continues to move forward on media ownership issues. Things like network neutrality continue to bubble along in Congress. And the rest of us just keep trying to communicate and get the information and news that we need. That brings to a close another edition of Media Geek. I'm host and producer Paul Riesmandel. I'll be back in 1 week with another half-hour look at independent and grassroots media, as well as a critical examination of our media environment. In the meantime, check out the frequently updated Media Geek blog at MediaGeek.net. The program can be downloaded at radio.mediageek.net, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. Media Geek is produced at Community Radio WEFT in Champaign, Illinois. The program is also heard on 10 other community stations around North America. They are Radio Free Moscow in Moscow, Idaho, KQRP in Salida, California, KRBS in Oroville, California, WSLR in Sarasota, Florida, WTND in Macomb, Illinois, WRFA in Jamestown, New York, CKDU in Halifax, Nova Scotia, WYQZ in Warrenton, Bealeton, Virginia, Free Radio Olympia in Olympia, Washington, and Free Radio San Diego. Media Geek is free to air on your local community station as well. Just email Paul at MediaGeek.net. That's also the address where you can send your comments about the program. Once again, that's Paul at MediaGeek.net. Thanks for tuning in.